It's my real pleasure to introduce our supplier speaking this evening, Uriah Renzetti. Uriah is a member of of Covenant, Covenant OPC in Sinking Spring, Redding. Is it Springs or Springs?
One spring.
There's only one spring. It's in their backyard, as a matter of fact. They fill it, have to fill it from time to time. And he's also a man under care of the Presbytery of Philadelphia. He's a graduate of Westminster Theological Seminary, partaker of the Boardwalk Chapel, and many other wonderful experiences that he brings. And it's really good to have him. He drove quite a distance, so and we're glad that he's here. So welcome. If you don't find things as you like it, well, move it around a little. But you've got it, my God.
Good evening. If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, while you're turning there, I'll tell you just a little quirky thing about where I live. I am worshiping with a Covenant Church in Sinking Spring, which is in Redding. It's spelled Reading, but it's pronounced Redding. I don't know what's up, but where I live in a southwest county from there is a place some of you might know or visit. It's Amish country, and so the name of the county is pronounced one way if you live there and one way if you don't live there. So for outsiders, it's Lancaster, but for residents, it's Lancaster. How that happened, I do not know, but that's the way things are. So that is where I come from. Want to give just a bit of direction with the handout in your bulletin. I apologize for the mix-up there. We've had a bit of scheduling adjustments. And so this outline is for both this evening's message and next Sunday evening's message. So I will be giving both messages for that, but we will be looking just at the first two verses of 1 Corinthians 15 this evening, and then we will be finishing up verses 2 to 4 next Sunday evening, Lord willing. So do not stress, we will not get through this outline this evening. We'll just get through the first part on the gospel perspective. So in case you're following along, that's how we are going to go. I'd like to thank the elders for this opportunity to serve God's people with God's word. It's something that is a weighty joy that I am very grateful to have the opportunity to do. So can you recall a time when you forgot something important? Maybe it was a doctor's appointment or your child's school recital. Do you remember what that felt like? The anxiety, the fear. But what happens if the situation was worse? What if you couldn't remember your address or your phone number or even your own name? Can you imagine the horror of forgetting what is most important? Well, in our text this evening, Paul is dealing with a church who is suffering a case of spiritual amnesia. They have forgotten the truth of God's word. And in the apostle's diagnosis, he also provides a prescription that God has approved for all who have forgotten what is most important. So before we read our text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. O great God in heaven, we give you thanks that you are a God of eternity, of infinity, that you have created time and yet you are not bound by it. We give you thanks that over time you have spoken to your people. What a treasure it is to have your word for us, so that we might know who you are, that we might know who we are, and how we are to live in this world that you have made. I ask that as we look to your word tonight, that you would continue to keep your promises, to work through your word by your spirit to change our hearts, that we may look more like our beautiful Savior Jesus. I thank you for your faithfulness to your word, that it will not return void. And I ask that you would give us ears to hear, minds that are focused on hearing what you have to say to us tonight. And would you give me all the strength that I need to be able to clearly proclaim your truth? You know my weaknesses. I'm grateful that you are, as we sang, a friend of sinners. And I thank you that you have saved me and saved us, and that you have risen again. And in that hope, we hope. We give you thanks for all these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear now the reading of God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. My sermon is titled, Gospel Remedy for Gospel Amnesia. We're going to look at these two verses twice. First, we're going to pay attention to the Corinthian church, the original context and audience, and then we will go through these verses again to consider how we are to respond to this message. So please keep your Bibles open as we look at that throughout the evening. So now I would remind you, brothers, Paul's remedy for the church comes in the form of a reminder. That means he's telling them something they already know. Is that really going to help them? Paul offers them something old. Now what does he remind them of? Well, we read the gospel I preach to you. What is the gospel? It is the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus to the world. It is the good news, the testimony of God, which Paul preached to the Corinthians. Now, we might expect that the Corinthian church would object. What good is the gospel to Christians? Is it not those outside the church who need to hear the gospel? And how in the world is a reminder of Jesus' work for them in the past going to have any help in addressing the substantial problems they face in the present? Here we see that in Paul's reminder of the gospel, he puts on display the gospel's wide reach and perspective. What is the scope of the gospel? Let's see how Paul expresses the gospel's reach, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. What do we see here? The gospel's perspective includes the Corinthians' past, present, and future. We read on. This gospel, which you received. When Paul first came to Corinth, he preached the gospel, Christ and him crucified. And the Corinthians rightly responded to that message. They heard the gospel, the testimony about Christ, and believed in Christ as their Savior and Lord. They received by faith this gift of God's grace. But they also received it wrongly. The gift of grace offered to them in the gospel was not something they worked for or earned by their own resources, and yet they were acting as if they did, even boasting about it. We move to the second part of this perspective, in which you stand. Paul now speaks to the church's present moment. The gospel which they received in the past is something they should still possess. The gospel is the ground on which they stand. Yet they were living for themselves according to their old way of life, dominated by sinful desires. Jesus had saved them from their sin, and yet they were going back to it. They no longer live for themselves or belong to themselves because they were bought with a price and belong to Christ. One can only be truly grounded in this life if one is grounded in the gospel. Paul would sing with us, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And now for the third part of this perspective, by which you are being saved. What Paul is expressing in this third phrase is that the present reality of the gospel is continuing to work in their lives in the present, or into the future. Jesus saved his people in the past, but as Peter writes, there is a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There is an aspect of salvation which is not yet. But some in the Corinthian church were acting as if they had arrived spiritually. They were fully mature. They thought that they didn't need the apostles' help. To put this all together, Paul is reminding the Corinthian church that the gospel of Jesus has past, present, and future effects. The gospel they received in the past should not be something forgotten or left on the shelf. The gospel calls them to live each day for Christ and by the power of Christ. And the gospel's work is incomplete, is not yet finished. They are not yet mature and perfect. The entirety of their lives is comprehended in this gospel. The remedy Paul gives in the form of a reminder. So we just considered how the Corinthians would have received this reminder, but let us now consider how we should take heed of this message. It's not uncommon for people who suffer from some kind of memory loss to think that their memory is just fine. And if someone does them a service of reminding them, they don't respond all too well. They might get a little snappy at you. Now, you may object that your life is fine. You don't need a reminder, especially if something as basic as you may think of the gospel. But may I suggest that we reconsider how detrimental gospel amnesia can be? The problem is we do not know what or how much we have forgotten. We need outside help to address this inside problem. So could we humble ourselves and welcome the Holy Spirit to show how we may be forgetting the gospel in our own church? What have we forgotten? What do we need to remember? Let's look again to God's remedy. So here is the main point of our text. Gospel amnesia occurs when we forget or lose sight of the gospel's perspective. A common symptom of gospel amnesia is short-sightedness. The eyes of our mind do not view the gospel scope, and so our minimized view of the gospel results in a minimized application of the gospel in our lives. But what does that look like? How can we fight against amnesia? Well, I'm going to offer a few symptoms of gospel amnesia so you can see it, to identify it, and also give biblical remedies for how to fight against the spiritual illness. So let's look again to the gospel perspective for this reminder. Which you received, what does it look like to lose sight of our gospel past? Well, one symptom is that we forget what Christ has done for us and who we are. When we forget, we are easily susceptible to the lies of our enemy. If we lose sight of our Savior, we will cry out to others to save us. If we forget that we have been adopted into God's family, we will live like orphans. If we forget God's satisfying love poured out on us through Christ, we will look for love in all the wrong places. How dark and empty our lives can be if gospel amnesia goes unchecked. So what do we do? Here is a remedy to address this symptom. Make a daily habit of meditating on Jesus' work of salvation for you. We must remind ourselves of the wonders of our gospel past. Jesus has paid for our debt of sin. He has reconciled our relationship to God. Once his enemies, now his friends. He has healed our spiritual blindness. And Jesus unites himself to us in an unbreakable eternal bond. We are his and he is ours. Doesn't it do you good to hear these gospel truths again? Remind yourself of the good news of Jesus. Our memories improve when we both retrieve the information we know and repeat it to ourselves regularly. So how can you build habits that keep the gospel on your mind? Looking to the second part of our gospel perspective, in which you stand. How is the salvation that was wrought in you in the past working out in the present? If we don't have the gospel's full perspective in view, we will not live rightly in the present. Well, one symptom is that we forget that our gospel past grounds our gospel present. That's our second symptom. Forgetting our gospel past grounds our gospel present. If we forget our past, we forget how we are to live. Gospel amnesia calls into question the very certainty of Christ's work in the gospel past. And it can sound like, did he really save me? Is his work on the cross sufficient for all my sin? Does he still love me? If we can't recall our past, we will not live rightly in the present. If we forget that we received the gospel, we will try to earn what has already been given to us by God. The means by which God has called us to live the Christian life is rooted in our gospel past. Imagine if I took a young tree, a sapling, and I went to my backyard and I had maybe a 10-foot pole in my backyard, and I hung the tree on that pole. How much fruit do you think that tree will bear in that condition? None at all. Now, imagine if 3 months later I come to you and I am mad. That tree still has not borne any fruit. I am so angry. I put it in place and it is doing absolutely nothing. Now, chances are you would look at me kind of strangely, as you should. Why would I expect a tree to be separated from the ground, have any ability to bear fruit? This might be a kind of a no-duh thing for us, but yet we can easily live our lives like this. This is what it looks like to live in the gospel present and forget the gospel past. So here's the remedy. We must remind ourselves that the past, finished work of Christ for us, grounds the present, unfinished work Christ is doing in us. Let me repeat that. We must remind ourselves that the past, finished work of Christ for us grounds the present, unfinished work Christ is doing in us. The same Christ who planted us in his justifying ground is the one who feeds the roots and enables fruit to grow. Christ has laid the foundation. It is the gospel on which you stand. So build on that foundation. Don't build your own foundation. Christian, remember, the basis of your identity, the very core of your being, is grounded in the work of another. You are a creature made in the image of God. And as one who has believed in the gospel of Jesus, your identity is in Christ. The unchanging reality of the gospel past is your anchor in the ever-changing present. God has set you apart as a saint, holy and reserved for him. So live holy lives, devoted to your Lord and Savior. As Paul clearly states in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, the ability to work out your salvation is entirely grounded and empowered by the reality that it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. While Jesus is taking care of the penalty and power of sin over us, the presence of sin is still with us. So remind yourself that the very sin that you face in the present moment is nailed to the cross and cannot separate you from the love of God. Give yourself wholly to loving and obeying Jesus by trusting that his Spirit is enabling your obedience that will conform you into the image of your sweet Savior. Christ has united himself to you and is tirelessly, unwaveringly committed to your growth in grace. So look to Jesus and be changed. And we move to the third part of our gospel perspective, by which you are being saved. If God had only revealed to us our gospel past and present in the Bible, we would be blessed indeed. But he has also revealed to us a glimpse of our gospel future. And it is so much more than after we die, we go to heaven. What is ahead for us can be summarized in one word, glory. Glory is a brilliant weightiness, a holy gravity. It is the state of perfection and fullness. Jesus will finish his sanctifying work in us, individually and as his church. Jesus will return for his bride. He will transform our bodies, either living or dead, into glorious resurrected bodies. All the promises of God will be fulfilled. The gospel of Jesus is glorious. Yes, but I hear you say, if all this happens after I die, what difference does it make if I forget it? I believe one of the reasons God has given us a view of our gospel future is so that it shapes our gospel present. I like to say it this way: we know how the story ends. So how can we lose sight of our gospel future? Well, here's our third and final symptom for this evening. We forget our gospel future secures and strengthens our gospel present. We forget our gospel future secures and strengthens our gospel present. Forgetting about the bright, victorious final chapter of our story, we despair in the present darkness. We let the discouragement or frustration with the lack of growth that we witness in ourselves overtake our hearts. We slow down our pace. We grow slack in our discipline. We consider it nearly impossible for us to make it to the end. And then we live as those who have no hope. Our days and nights are ravaged by an unsettling insecurity about our lives before God. But here is the gospel remedy. Rest in the security and run in the strength God's promises provide. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, who rescued you from the deepest darkness of sin and death, will by no means abandon you to the darkness you now face. You who fear that you will lose your fight against sin, or that your suffering will have the last word, or that the world will weaken and break your faith in God, I say to you, hear the words of Jesus. Fear not. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The gospel would fail to be good news if Jesus had left any of it to ourselves. So those who remember the gospel, let the certainty of their gospel future, the guarantee, instruct how they live in the gospel present. So we do not give up hope when our progress in the faith seems agonizingly slow. We do not despair when we have yet to kill the sin that clings so closely after decades in battle against it. We find rest in God's promises that he will fulfill his purpose for us. And that engenders a fortifying security in our hearts as we are securely united to Christ now and forevermore. What enables us to run the race well today is the sure truth that Jesus will bring us to the finish line. God preserves us, and so we persevere. Think about it this way. The God of our salvation knows our problem comprehensively. Our sins span past, present, and future. So if he is making a solution to our problem, it must span past, present, and future. The gospel is only good news because it comprehensively, completely solves our greatest problem. That's why we can sing, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." In conclusion, let's review by way of application. Let us remember the gospel's perspective. We need to keep the whole in view. We cannot see and live rightly in the present if we do not have the past and the future in view. So discover and delight in all the blessings of grace in Jesus. Read books that put in widescreen technicolor the wonders of our gospel past, present, and future. Let us honor Christ by knowing and enjoying every spiritual blessing and treasure that he has lavished on us. You can also meditate and memorize gospel verses that will help you not forget what's most important. Put sticky notes on your mirror or your fridge. Put them on your phone. Tell yourself what is most important. Tell yourself what is true about God and who He has made you. Love your family and friends by reminding them of the gospel. And when you face present temptations and sin, look to the full scope of the gospel. Fight sin with a history lesson. Christ has paid for all my sins. They're nailed to the cross. I'm clothed in His righteousness, standing justified before the throne of God. Nothing I face on the battlefield can change that. Go to the fountain of God's faithfulness when you are weak. Anchor your soul in His promises. You may say, I am discouraged. My sins weigh me down. But God is not finished with me. He is working in all things to make me more like my Savior. And He will complete His transformation in His good time. And I'd also like us to consider that since our future is secure, how may we live boldly and fearlessly, investing ourselves in gospel labors both near and far? This world needs the good news of the gospel. We have been changed by this good news. Let us not keep it to ourselves, but see, since God has taken care of all, how we may invest and give our lives that this gospel may spread all around the world. I asked you at the beginning to consider the horror of forgetting what's most important. But now, think about the joy of remembering it again. We have gospel assurance because all our days are covered by the gospel. As one song puts it, your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment. Jesus has rescued you from spiritual memory loss, and He serves you in love by reminding you of the glories of His grace. We take heart because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus will come again, bringing the bright and glorious gospel future into the here and now. Just as sin and death will be no more, memory loss will be no more. And so we will spend all of eternity perfectly remembering and praising our triune God for His saving grace. So as we live, awaiting His return, fixing our eyes on Him, let the gospel of Christ always be on your mind, guiding our will, transforming our hearts. Jesus loves you, and so He reminds you of Himself. Let's pray. Oh, great God, we thank You for Your infinite wisdom, that seeing the end from the beginning of planning out this glorious plan of redemption that You have accomplished throughout the ages. We thank You for how that is perfectly worked out and how You have, in Your good time, brought each of us to life by Your Spirit, that we can see Jesus as the one and only Savior that He is God in flesh. We thank You for the many great glories of the gospel that You have given to us in Your word. Would You help us to fight against spiritual amnesia, that we would take to heart the responsibility we have to keep Your word on our minds, and that by doing so, we may delight in the glories of Your grace and also store up this word that we might not sin against You. Would You help us to see, give us eyes to see this grand, broad perspective of the gospel, that as we walk in the present, we can see how Your work in the past and Your work in the future are both reaching into this present moment. We give You thanks for Your faithfulness to keep us to the end. We look forward to seeing that day when we meet You face to face, and we will be like You, because the transformation that You have started will be completed. We give you thanks for all this and more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.